Good evening, church. My name is Samuel Kabiru. I'm saved by the grace of God. I'm from Kenya, East Africa. And like I said yesterday in the morning, I'm married to Nancy. And God has blessed us with three children, two girls, and one boy. They're all adults, and three grandsons. I thank God very much for such an opportunity to be able to stand before you and share the word of God. Amen. It is my prayer that God will help me and I will be able to communicate to you. I'm going to ask you to turn with me to the book of Luke chapter 15. It's a very familiar passage, Luke chapter 15. I'm going to read verse 1 and verse 2, but I'll kind of touch on the whole chapter. The Bible says, "Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them." Shall we pray? Father, we want to thank you so much for your faithfulness and for loving us. Thank you for Jesus Christ. And thank you for this particular moment you have given us to fellowship together. And God, I pray that you may give me the strength that I need to speak your word the way it is, for your honor and glory, and the blessings will be ours. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
I want to speak on there is joy when we get involved.
Amen.
Business people say, and they talk of things like movers and shakers. That means that for things to happen, there must be people behind that happening.
That's right.
Things don't just happen.
Yes.
And even when we get to heaven and we get the crowns, we'll be remembering and forgetting how we suffered. We have been told that the cross we bear precedes the crown we wear. Therefore, whenever we are in the Lord's business, it's good to know that we are working for the Lord who died for us. Now, Jesus had some time. The Bible says that sinners, publicans, it starts with publicans and sinners, got near him or where he was to hear what he was saying. But verse 2 says the religious leaders murmured. They made some noise. And Jesus, being God, read their thoughts, and he gave this parable, which is called the parable of the lost things, which touches or has three things that are lost. And so as I go through, it's good for us to ask ourselves questions like, what is our attitude towards sinners? And when we talk of sinners, we are talking of the lost.
That's right.
The lost people whom Jesus died for.
Exactly.
What is our attitude towards them? Do we despise them? Sometimes we do. What is our attitude toward sinners, those who do not look like us? They don't belong to our faith. They are lost. They are outside. Do we avoid them? Do we shun them? Do we even condemn them? Or do we try or seek to serve them? Whenever Jesus got involved in the affairs of people who were supposedly outside, there was some noise. And I want to tell you today that every time you get involved in trying to do good, not everybody will praise you. Some will make noise. You are not supposed to do that. In Luke chapter 18, Jesus was passing by, and there was a man who was blind, was a beggar. He was called Bartimaeus. When he heard the sound, the noise, the commotion, he asked what was going on. And somehow he was told that Jesus, the son of David, was passing by. And he started shouting, "Jesus, Jesus, have mercy on me." But we are told that people, including Jesus' disciples, tried to stop him, implying that Jesus had no time for blind beggars like Bartimaeus. But I'm glad that Jesus had time for the blind beggar Bartimaeus. Amen. I'm also glad, so much glad, that Jesus had time for me. Amen. When I was a sinner. Amen. Aren't you glad that Jesus had time for you? When you were a sinner? In Luke 19, chapter 19, there's this, we are given the case of this short man who worked with the IRS. We don't like them. One pastor has said that we even don't pray for them. Now, there was this short man whose name was Zacchaeus. The Bible says that he was short. I tend to think he was shorter than me. I'm 5'4". Maybe he was 5'2". But we are told that he wanted to see Jesus. He climbed up a tree. But Jesus looked at him and told him, "Zacchaeus, come down. I'm going to be at your place. In other words, I'm going to be your guest." Yes. People murmured. People made noise. They complained. They were not comfortable. And from that point, Jesus made his mission statement that the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. In other words, Jesus is saying, "Hey, don't make noise. I came for such." Amen. That is why I'm here, for the characters like Zacchaeus. I want to take you back now that you take Zacchaeus and Bartimaeus and the people Jesus is eating with here. They are all lost. And Jesus has come for the lost. But I want to show you that every time people get involved, there is joy. You know, all of us rejoice when people come to the Lord. But I don't know if sometimes we ask ourselves, what has been our involvement? Oh, this is a very good church. I hope my people in the country would know where I am today, and that I'm speaking in this church. But this church, to be the way it is, a lot has been put in. A lot of work.
Amen.
For us and you to be able to enjoy this facility and to rejoice, there has been a lot of involvement from some people. And now we are told that Jesus talked about the lost sheep. The Bible tells us that when the shepherd realized that one of his sheep was lost, he left the 99, went back to look for the lost one. When he got it, when he found it, put it on his shoulders, came and called his friends. He threw a party, telling them, "Let's rejoice, I have found it." Going down, there's the lady with a lost coin. When she found it, the same. She calls her friends, threw a party, let's rejoice. But you look at verse 10, it says, "Likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth."
Amen.
You know, it's like when one turns to the Lord, that stirs heaven. Can you imagine of anything that would stir heaven? I want to be rejoicing. I want to be in that rejoicing. But now, going to the last one, the lost son. This young son asked for his inheritance. I guess he said, "I don't want to wait until you die." He asked for his share, went out and squandered it all. I guess he was telling his friends, business didn't go well. Comes back home, and his dad is waiting for him. And he tells his people, "Let's rejoice. Let's have a party. My lost son has come back." While everybody was rejoicing, or was supposed to be rejoicing, a shadow was cast. The big son, the older son, comes from his father's field, is asking what is going on here. And when he's told what has happened, it's like, "That's none of my business." He is complaining. I want you to get this. And that is the spirit of the Pharisees. The same people who are complaining that Jesus is eating with sinners. They are criticizing grace. To them, they don't understand grace. They do not know how to celebrate grace. To them, they cannot understand that Jesus is treating sinners like people. And here, Jesus is showing them that sinners' lives matter. They are people. We may not like them, but Jesus died for them. You know, some of them could be better than us. Hey, I want you to figure yourself, how are you work out your things. You know, you are not better, but you are different. That makes the difference. Jesus makes the difference. Not your effort, not my effort. You know, I can't remember who said this, but I'm sure some of you have come across it, that my going up is my coming down. The much I get to know about the grace of God and how God loves me, that brings me down. You know, the thinking and the philosophy of the Pharisees was that God accepts people who are good enough. To them, they can't understand the concept of grace, the mercy of God. They have what it takes to get in. You know, Jesus is revealing God here. God is seeking the lost. And when they are found, there is joy. Amen. Not only here, but in heaven.
Right.
You know, when we tell people about the Lord, when we go out taking trucks, knocking doors, if one just happened to come on Sunday, there's some rejoicing.
Right.
And we want to know who invited them.
That's right.
And if they are here, and you happen to be an emotional person, you'd shed tears of joy. And just imagine if that person decides, I want to follow Jesus. We would say a lot of hallelujahs.
Amen.
Amen. It just doesn't happen. It's a result of some involvement. So when we talk of missions, going out telling people about the Lord, it's all about our involvement. Getting involved in what God loves. Getting involved and interested in the things that God is interested in. We've been told very many times, all of us as Baptists, that missions, winning souls, is the heartbeat of God. Do we really believe it? One of my college professors many years ago was a Jew, a very smart man. And in missions, he used to say that there are three things that move the heart of God. And he would say, number one, children. Children, don't mess up with children. God loves children. We all know that. Then he would say, and I guess he was saying this because he was a Jew, the nation of Israel, that God loves Israel. All of us know that. And I hope we may not agree with everything that is going on, but God loves Israel. Let's keep praying for Israel, even as we pray for the peace of Jerusalem.
Amen.
Then he would say, number three, missions. Missions. Reaching out, telling others that God loves them. And that's why he sent Jesus Christ. And you know, Christianity is the only, let me call it a religious group, faith, that speaks about the love of God. All these other religions, they depend on what they do, their effort. If we truly believe that missions is the heartbeat of God, then we won't have to worry about the critics, those who are not getting in. All we need to know is that people may not like what you are doing, but we are in for God. With that conviction, then we'll pray, we'll give, and others will go. Then that being the case, we can go ahead do what we are supposed to do, what God has called us for, and leaving the Pharisees of today murmuring and saying, this man eateth with sinners. Thank you, Pastor.
You, dear brother.
Thank you.
As our brother so well explained, verse 2, Luke 15, the Pharisees and the scribes murmured. They didn't like what they saw. They murmured. And what's the worst thing they can say about the Lord Jesus? This man receiveth sinners. And with that statement, I rejoice. Amen. I thank the Lord for that. Now, what's the difference in a saved sinner and a lost sinner? Preacher talked about our attitude toward the lost. We need to think about that. Now, they do get on our nerves. And they do foolish things because that's all they know. We should have a proper attitude toward them, not this pharisaical attitude. But what's the difference in a lost sinner and a saved sinner? Jesus receiveth sinners. The difference is the sinner that will receive Jesus. To as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Have you received him? You're here tonight. We're on a Monday evening, and it's a missions conference. We're talking about missions. And I trust that you understand the gospel and that you have that biblical assurance, but I don't want to make an assumption that's foolish or careless. Has there been a time in your life when you received the Lord Jesus Christ? Oh, he receiveth sinners. Isn't that marvelous? But sinners need to receive him. Is he your Savior tonight? If not, won't you let me or someone here tonight help you? You say, I've gotten that settled. I know that. Well, aren't you glad that someone, or maybe, as I mentioned on Sunday morning, maybe several individuals were involved in your understanding of the gospel and ultimately your conversion. You know, Paul watered, Apollos, or Paul planted, Apollos watered, God giveth the increase. But aren't you grateful for those individuals that approach you with the gospel? I want to do that for someone. And that is just a great conviction, great conviction. Let's spend this time in prayer. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, I thank you for what we've experienced this evening and yesterday as well, and the expectation of tomorrow and Wednesday. Thank you for these like-minded men that have come so far to be with us. Thank you for the things we hear about their ministries and their lives and for their exposition of Scripture. Help us, Father, to hold fast that which is good. Help us to be attentive and to retain what we hear and what we learn and what we know. Maybe things that are just simply reaffirmed that we already know. But help us, Father, to be faithful, and may this entire conference be profitable to each of us individually. We love you and thank you. Now, Father, I ask you to bless this time of prayer, this time of invitation. And I pray that your will be accomplished in our hearts and our lives. We thank you and praise you. In our Savior's name, we pray. Every head bowed, please, every eye closed, as our pianist plays softly a hymn of invitation. Brethren, let's use this time to pray. Let's use this time to make some commitments. Let's use this time to examine ourselves.